Happy Thanksgiving. Isn't it fun that once a year we get together as a nation and take time to give thanks? It's a wonderful notion, this idea of taking time to give thanks. And what's true is that gratitude is a powerful spiritual practice that helps us to realign and remember what's important. It helps us to improve our experience of life. And my invitation to us is to consider making Thanksgiving Day every day. So it's not just a once a year get together, which is lovely. I'm not saying do away with that, but to carry that energy of recognition of our blessings with us every day, to move into an attitude of gratitude, or to move from thanksgiving to thanks living, if you will. The thing about gratitude is that it really doesn't cost us much. There's nothing to lose by being grateful. It's as if when we're grateful, it's like flipping a switch and seeing light dissolve the darkness. And when we do that and we become more and more aware of the good in our lives, then the more we do it, the more we see that there is something to be grateful for. And the more we feel that gratitude, the more we see other things to be grateful for. And it's this wonderful process of uplifting ourselves. And when we do that, we uplift everyone. Gratitude is this choice that allows us to flick the switch, driving out our focus on the negative. So I'm going to give you three ideas for how to add more daily gratitude to your life. The first starts with the letter A, and that is aware. Become aware. Become aware of the fact that there are established patterns that we all have. Some of us, our established pattern is what June Burnham used to call an organ recital. It's when you see someone and they say, "How are you?" and you list the litany of all the organs that are not working for you today. Or the catastrophe song. Everything is terrible. Nothing's working. Or maybe you're the, and this is me, maybe the pattern for you, like me, is it was great, but. And there's always a but. It was great, but I wish I'd gotten there earlier. It was great, but I wish I'd gotten there later. It was great, but I got there on time. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. There's always a little bit of a but. And in case you haven't figured it out or you've forgotten, a reminder for you that anything I say to you is because it's for me too. Maybe your pattern is there's never enough. There's never enough time. There's never enough money. There's never enough food. There's never enough cooperation. Never enough people to chip in. Too many people to chip in. That's a whole different pattern. Or maybe your pattern is compare and despair. What they call the ER song. Living in the land of ER. I should be skinnier, richer, fatter, happier, smarter, kinder. Step number one is kind of notice the song you're singing. Become aware of your pattern. There's a story which I've told a couple of years ago, but it's still a fun story about gratitude. And this speaks to a person and their pattern. So a grandmother and her grandson are at the beach one day, and the little boy is playing right at the edge of the water, and this wave comes along and washes this little kid out to the ocean. And the grandmother looks up at the heavens and says, "Come on, God. I go to church regularly. I give money. I help with the women's guild. I do everything for you. I've been a wonderful mother. I've done nothing wrong. What did I do to deserve this? That child deserves to come back." And sure enough, God says, "Okay, okay." And on the next wave, that little boy gets burped back onto the beach. And this voice of God comes down and says, "Are you satisfied now?" And the grandmother looks up at God and says, "He was wearing a hat." The pattern of it's good, but it's not perfect until. And the question that becomes part of that awareness, or the idea that I want you to think of as part of awareness, is that this is perfectly normal, everyday, predictable human behavior. There's a thing called hedonic adaptation. Anybody heard of such a big fat word? Basically, what it means is that we quickly get used to the good things that happen to us. And then we start to seek more. So we may have been looking for the love of our lives, and when that person finally shows up, we're happy for a while and happy for a while and happy for a while until that honeymoon period is over, and then we see that they don't pick up their socks and all that stuff. And it's like, oh, maybe I should trade you in for a different model. This is what they call hedonic adaptation. It's the idea that we stop seeing as much of the positive as we saw before. And instead, we actually start finding fault and complaining. And research has shown that this is predictable behavior. And if we know that, then we have the power to do something with that. And that is to be willing to look differently. So that first step, awareness, is to recognize the song that we sing, whether it's an organ recital or it's a "he was wearing a hat," And know that it's okay, and that we want to shift that behavior. That it takes a little bit of effort to shift that behavior. And that happens when we go to my second letter, which is W. And that is to move to finding wonder. Move from worry to wonder. The question that I want you to think about here is, does my established pattern have to be the pattern? Is there an alternative? I wonder if there's an alternative that is more wonderful. Is there anything worthy of wonder in this situation? Realizing, of course, that life is complicated, that people are complicated, that situations are complicated, and that what we see on the surface is a tiny, tiny representation of what's going on beneath whatever we see. And so, are we willing to look a little deeper and wonder if there is something that is more wonderful that we can take from this? In the book of Philippians, we are told, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is honest, just, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think of these things. Think of these things. Here is an example of some of the things that we don't even see, and an example of how we can move from worry to wonderful. There's a poem called I Am Thankful For by Nancy Carmody. I am thankful for the mess to clean up after a party, because it means I have been surrounded by friends. I am thankful for the taxes that I pay, because it means I am employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. I am thankful for my shadow who watches me work, because it means I am out in the sunshine. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I am capable of walking. I am thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key, because it means I can hear. The lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. My huge heating bill, because it means that I am warm. I am grateful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I have been productive. I'm grateful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours, because it means I am alive. See how we can shift and move from worry to wonder. How it can be reframed, our things that we complain about. In the same way, we can move from worry to wonder for the people in our lives and our relationships. Does my established habit in this relationship have to be the only option? Or can I choose to see it differently? I recently spoke to a woman whose husband had been going through a really rough patch. And the family was feeling the effect. We've all experienced that. Where he was just having a really rough time and his misery was being communicated in various unpleasant ways. And she was just about at the point where she'd had enough. And then she said, I reminded myself of the sacrifices that he has made for our family. The hours he's worked. The moving across the country for the good of the family. The way he treats the children most of the time. And I realized that I could help him and help our family in a more whole way if I remembered that what I was seeing is not all of him. And so with patience and a genuine heartfelt conversation, they moved through it together. From worry to wonder. And that same thing is true for us, each of us individually. When we find ourselves in a place where we are worrying something within us, there's a part of us that's more angry than we would like it to be, or more impatient than we would like it to be. Or maybe we give too much and it doesn't feel good for us and then we don't know how to say no. Or whatever those different complaints that we might have about ourselves. What if we could look at ourselves differently and see the love that we are that drives those behaviors? And maybe there's a wounded child within us that needs a little bit of a hug, some compassion, some understanding to help move through that angry moment, that impatient moment. So W. Wonder. I wonder what is wonderful in this. And then finally, the letter E. In case you haven't figured it out, that spells awe. Aware, wonder. E for express. Express appreciation. Express praise. I used to work with a guy named Arnie Foss in Pierceland, Saskatchewan. I told some of you this already. And he was this big, burly guy. And every so often I'd see him and I'd say, "How are you doing, Arnie?" And he'd say, if I was any better, there'd be two of me." And I've lost touch with Arnie, and I'm guessing by now he's no longer on the earthly plane. But that memory sticks with me. If I was any better, there'd be two of me. Remember Hilda Cliff? She would express appreciation every time I saw her. Because I'd say to Hilda, "How are you doing, Hilda?" And she'd say, "Woke up this morning, first plus of the day." And my dad, "How are you doing, Dad?" And he'd say, "Better." And I'd say, "Better than what?" And he'd say, "Better than the alternative." In all things, give thanks. And here is something that I learned from Ted Lasso, the TV show Ted Lasso. It was the first time that I'd heard the idea of "I appreciate not being attached to a thing. I appreciate you picking me up. I appreciate the lunch you brought me," or the phone call is how I've always thought of appreciation. In this show was the first time I heard, "I appreciate you." Try it. Instead of saying, "I love you," add to your repertoire, "I appreciate you." Not just the stuff you do for me, but because you are a part of my life. Catch people doing something good, catch them being something good, and let them know how much you appreciate that, how much you appreciate them. Send a thank you letter. Pick up the phone and say thank you. Have a gratitude journal so that you can express for yourself the gratitude you feel about the things, the people in your life. And please, look in the mirror periodically and say, "I appreciate you," to the face that you're speaking to. Took a lot for you to get here. You've overcome a great deal to be who you are today. You have much to be grateful for. And so, I end with, remember these three letters: to live in a life of awe. Become aware of your tendency to complain. Move from worry to wondering what you can find that is wonderful. Focus on that. And then express. Tell the people that you appreciate them. You will lift them up, you will lift you up. And you will live in a place of thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I bless you.